Like today is October 1st, 2016. This is Mobile News Podcast number 177. I'm Todd Agosa Ward, my good friend John Westfall. And happy autumn to you.
Mm-hmm. It is October, which means that pumpkin spice everything will now be coming out, if not already.
Yep, I had my pumpkin spice Frappuccino decaf today.
Ah, you see, you get to get those things because you live within striking distance of a Starbucks.
I do.
My closest Starbucks is 89 miles away.
Wow.
And then I have to go into a casino. So wow. I actually want to go to a real Starbucks. It's about 2 hours. But thankfully, there's a coffee shop within a minute walk of my apartment that has usually some pumpkin-themed latte for October. So last year was a haunted pumpkin. I don't know what made it haunted, but it was there.
All righty. Well, maybe they put spirits in it, but you didn't know.
Couldn't be. It wasn't the alcoholic kind. It was probably, you know, spirits of another realm.
Okay, and before we get started with our actual content here today, I'll mention that next week we're hoping to have a pair of friends on to help us discuss whatever the heck Google announces in 3 days at their... Mm-hmm. Gosh, what was it called? They had a funny name for their October 4th event. But whatever it was called, we expect two new phones to be announced, either with the Nexus branding or with the Pixel branding. We're not sure which. But if they name the next phone Nexus 7, it'll make no sense at all, since there's been a tablet named Nexus 7 for several years now. So I'm willing to believe they're going to rebrand it as a Pixel phone. And I'm definitely looking, I think the Acer R13 I've been waiting for is available for order some places, although I haven't looked for it, and that's supposed to get the new version of Chrome OS that runs, Android apps. It's currently available as beta, but this will get an actual production release.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever this Project Andromeda thing is, which is the eventual fusion of Chrome OS and Android, is rumored to be a topic of discussion at the October 4th event. So hopefully we'll have a lot to talk about next weekend, because we got nothing this weekend.
Yeah, October 4th is the Made by Google event.
Made by Google, there you go.
And if you go to madeby.google.com, you see a device that is a phone. It is not a tablet-looking device, unless it is really oddly shaped for a tablet.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be interesting to see. I would actually be very interested in getting back into Android. I would love to find something that would make me want to carry it around as maybe a second device just to play with. But
because you don't have enough devices to carry right now, John.
Exactly. I only carry around a Windows tablet, a iOS tablet, and an iOS phone. So a Google phone would just add into the mix.
Yep. Or, you know, maybe you'll get a Chromebook.
You never know. I'm actually pretty happy with, I think my setup now for the foreseeable future is going to be the iPad Pro, the Surface Pro, those are the daily drivers, my MacBook Pro that I've had for a couple of years now, it's a 2015 model, so I guess only a year and a half. I think that's going to probably be my primary laptop for at least 3-4 more years. When I got it, I maxed out the specs on it. And, you know, I'm sitting here playing with it right now, and it's got 16 gigs of RAM, and I think I'm pretty well done with that, 3.1 gigahertz Intel Core i7. So that's probably going to be my laptop for the foreseeable future that will probably only travel with me when I'm going to be gone for more than a day or two. So okay.
Well, I, on the other hand, am, as you know, have been waiting with bated breath to get one of the new generation Chromebooks that is designed to work with Android apps. In other words, it has a touch screen and all that other good stuff. So after this podcast, I will go take a look to see what, if the R13 is on Amazon. If not, I'll just wait till October 4th and see what shakes out of the Chromebook tree.
Yeah, I know the only things I'm waiting for this year, other than seeing what Google announces, I still intend to pick up AirPods when they come out at the end of...
Amazing. I am not. I thought about it, but I... No.
The AirPods fit so well into my ears, which is, I think I might be the only person on the planet that they actually do, that I'm intrigued by AirPods. Plus, I don't have a Bluetooth headset I really like right now.
Mm.
I have an older LG Tone that occasionally I pull out, but I don't know. I've never really liked it that much, and I have some Backbeat Go headphones that never fit my ears right, and so I'd be happy to find something new. So it's basically buy the AirPods, and if I don't like them, get rid of them and buy something, because I'm kind of living on just wired headphones for now, and I'd like something wireless.
Okay, and that's a good segue to the first actual topic of our discussion today, and that's my rant about Bluetooth.
So my Bluetooth on my 7 Plus has been acting just fine. I mean, occasionally it doesn't connect to my car, but that's usually because it's in my pants pocket that's kind of opposite where the head unit is. So I think probably my body is providing some loss of signal. But other than that, I've had no real problems with mine. So what are you experiencing?
I am experiencing nothing but problems. So let me preface this by saying that I was not among the fortunate to get my iPhone 7 Plus right away like you. I waited, a week and a half later than most people, which is fine.
But yeah, you actually got it pretty quick from, I think, what the initial shipping estimate was.
Yeah, the initial shipping estimate was next week. So, you know, no complaints there. But what it means is I did have a week of running my iPhone 6 Plus, you know, the two-year-old iPhone 6 Plus, with iOS 10 and Bluetooth devices, and there was no problem. So I'm not saying there's a problem with the Bluetooth stack in general. There is... I do see a problem with the Bluetooth stack on the 7 Plus, however, and I'm connecting to three different devices: an Amazon Echo, a T10, which is the Bluetooth name for the little car connector I have in my car, and a Tautronics Bluetooth headset, which has been working just fine with my iPhone 6 Plus for, you know, a year and a half now. So all three devices have problems with Bluetooth. And the symptoms are this. A, 100% of times when I use my Bluetooth headset, it's already paired. I hear the little automated announcement in my earbuds that it's connected, you know, because it's already paired. And when I hit play button on my 7 Plus, it plays through the iPhone speaker. And the fix, 100% of the time, is to disconnect it. At which point, it doesn't say disconnected. It says a Bluetooth device out of range, which is not true, because it's literally 6 inches from my head as I'm holding the iPhone Plus and the Bluetooth earbuds in my ears. And then I reconnect it, and it works. Okay, so that's the headphones. The Echo, Amazon Echo, it's hit or miss. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, even though they're already paired. And finally, the car system. Let me think about it. This one is a little bit more hit and miss. In the beginning, it simply took a long, long time. And even now, it takes a while, but not quite as long. After it was paired, it took a long time to connect, or it would never connect, and I would have to kind of manually force it to connect from the Bluetooth screen on the 7 Plus. And yesterday, when I was driving to work, it actually has about, at about 50 minutes into the drive, it simply dropped. Yeah, the audio connection, the Bluetooth audio connection simply dropped. So, you know, three devices, three different sets of problems with Bluetooth. In looking around the net for, you know, other similarly afflicted 7 Plus owners, I did see a number of people having problems. Gizmodo. Has a tagline, iPhone 7 Bluetooth is totally screwed up for some. I guess I'm among the some. I think if you're among the 1% and you have a BMW Bluetooth, you're having some problems. So it's not, you know, it's not 100% of the phones. Like you said, yours is fine. But some people are having problems, and I'm having a lot of problems. But I'm hopeful, you know, I'm not going to return my phone or anything. I'm hopeful that this will get resolved in the next firmware update, because I'm pretty sure it's some kind of firmware problem, the stack.
Now, yes. when you set up yours, did you happen to, I guess, did you restore from an iTunes backup, or did you set up?
No, I always set up my phone's new.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of is sometimes the weird settings come over.
Yeah, agree.
But that is bizarre. Hopefully it's a firmware issue and not a hardware issue.
Yeah, and I have said it's you're okay. It's You know, it's probably some weird interaction between certain kinds of devices, maybe certain Bluetooth chipsets. I don't even know which chipsets are in my devices. You know, the Echo and my Tautronics and the my headset. But I'm 3 for 3, or 0 for 3, depending on how you count on it. So, yeah, and I have done things like, you know, unpair it. You know, it's basically forget this device and then repair. I've done that several times with the headset. Just to, you know, see what's going on, but it's pretty annoying. But I, you know, the workarounds do work, so I'm not dead in the water. Except of course when my Bluetooth just cut out while I was driving, and you know, I couldn't take my hands off the wheel to reconnect it. That was kind of annoying, but that's how it is. Anyway, that's my rant. Bluetooth, apparent Bluetooth stack problems for the iPhone 7 Plus, or at least mine. John's is fine, and all three of the devices, you know, three different manufacturers. All audio. Oh, I also noticed this, and I can't reproduce it 100% of the time, but if you are listening to, say, a podcast or music on a Bluetooth headset on a 7 Plus, and you open up your device and you scroll around, you don't even have to launch it. If you launch an app, it's even worse, but you scroll around, I can hear noise in the audio stream. Yeah. You know, like processor can't keep up or something.
Yeah, this is definitely something that I really hope we're able to figure out without it being a hardware issue. Because it sounds like, just because it's so hit and miss, that it could potentially be a hardware issue, which would be very, very depressing.
Yeah, but fortunately for us, it's Apple. And my guess is that if it is a hardware issue, I'm just going to get a new phone eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so as well.
So I'm not, like I said, I'm not rushing to the store to replace it or anything. Because everything else about it, except the Bluetooth problem and the home button, I like.
The home button is getting more and more familiar to me every day with it. I am actually really surprised at how well I can use the home button without it feeling strange that it's not a true button.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that bothers me more, surprisingly, is more than the phone button. Is 3D touch. I'd like to turn it off.
Really?
Yeah, I have no use for it, and it gets in the way of things I, you know, used to do easily, like move icons around.
That's interesting. I've liked 3D touch, aside from the moving icons. That takes a weird sort of touch to get that right. But otherwise, I've enjoyed using 3D touch. So we'll have to see. Maybe it's a training thing. Eventually your hands will adapt to it, and maybe it truly is something that you will not be able to adapt to.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is, I guess I have not gotten into the long push, or whatever it's called, long hold, to expose things underneath something. So, you know, it's not something I do on purpose. Sometimes I'll do it and go, oh, that's kind of interesting, and then forget what I was trying to do. But not one of my use cases yet. Okay, the next item. Okay, enough with ranting. The next item I wanted to get your take on, and that's the Alexa Prize that Amazon announced for students. Now, let me see if I can read it. Registration is now open for universities to build a social bot on Alexa and compete to win a $500,000 prize, additional $1 million prize for social bot that achieves the grand challenge of conversing coherently and engagingly with humans for 20 minutes. So kind of like a Turing test, except you're not trying to fool anybody.
Yeah.
And it's only open to students, I think. Yeah, teams of university students can now submit applications. I don't know. You're a professor, John.
Last I checked, yes.
Is that something you would encourage students at your university to do if any were so interested to do so?
If I was teaching in a computer science department and I was teaching on AI, I definitely, as long as I had, you know, obviously this is going to probably favor people who have larger institutions and larger research systems. You know, I have students who, even if I were teaching a computer science at a regular university, like a small regional or even a state university that wasn't too large, I could see having an issue with getting students that would be into this and also having the background and program to know how to do this. But if I had seniors in a AI course at a large Research One institution, I could totally see this being a fun opportunity. Now, I'm looking to see where the... So basically, the event is November 2017. Mm-hmm. So that does mean if you are going to do this with your current crop of students, you'll need probably juniors if you want them to still be around by 2017. Of course, you could start with seniors. I assume most of the work would be done during this academic year.
Right.
But yeah, it looks like a fun opportunity. I wish more companies would do this. It's kind of along the lines of the movement we've seen over the last few years with things like bug bounty programs, where you can basically engage people and say, hey, you know, we need help. We'd like to crowdsource this. And what can you help us with? And can we, you know, in this case, make you money, give you money just to do it. So awesome, awesome thing. Be nice to see. I'd like to see Google or Apple take up something like it. Amazon, even though Alexa and the Echo have been very successful, I still don't see them as the same saturation as iOS and Android.
No, it's a different. It's a much more. You know, we really don't know how many Echoes have been sold, right? I don't think Amazon's ever announced it. We suspect it's a lot, and the people who own them, like me, are highly engaged with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love my Echo, Amazon Echo, and quite frankly. Because, and I don't think it's any smarter in terms of speech recognition, but its microphone array is so much better than any microphone using, you know, say, Cortana on a Windows device, or Google Now on an Android device, or even on Chrome on your PC, because, you know, PCs have hit or miss microphones, you know, same problem with Cortana, that it seems like the experience is better, because it simply hears you better. than any other speech-enabled device you probably own. And that's why I think the engagement with it, with the Echo, is so feels so much better than anything else. It's kind of like using apps on an iPhone. You know, there are only, in any given year, there's only two different iPhones that app designers have to design against, versus Android, where you have to design against, you know, hundreds of potential models. All the different microphones and different speakers and different CPUs and everything. It's just very difficult to get a consistent experience for the user.
Yeah, very, very true.
So, anywho, if you are in a university somewhere, this sounds like a good one. And it says that Amazon will sponsor up to 10 teams. I'm not sure how they're going to choose that. But it says up to 10 teams will be sponsored by Amazon or receive a $100,000 stipend. Alexa-enabled devices, free AWS services, and support from the Alexa team itself. So that's pretty exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, oh yeah, let's see, since my Echo is sitting right here next to my Mac, let me see if I can give you an example of what it can do. Alexa, tell me a Star Trek joke.
What did Captain Picard say to the tailor when his uniform ripped? Make it so.
That is no better than any other Star Trek joke I've ever heard, so kudos to Alexa for that one.
Anyway. Okay. As I mentioned at the top of the podcast, we are pretty light on news, and the only other piece of news I have to share that I thought was interesting, actually, there's lots of news, just things that interested me, is that finally, you know, I thought they had done this long ago, but I guess not. There's an article on ZDNet that Google Maps for Android, doesn't say anything about iOS, but Google Maps for Android is finally integrating Google Calendar events. So, you know, this is one of those things like, wow, didn't they do this like, you know, 3 years ago? But apparently not. So now you can just, when you have like a meeting with an address attached to it, you can just open up your Google Maps app and check for something called an upcoming tab in Google Maps. I haven't checked on my device yet to see if I've got that. And you know, just navigate away to wherever your destination is defined in your calendar. So that's pretty cool.
As long as you are using actual full destinations in your calendar.
That's right.
if you're kind of just saying at the office or at the, you know, whatever. I mean, it could get potentially very smart and figure that stuff out and say, okay, well, your office is here and your you know, client name blank. Well, I can look in your email and figure out kind of if they've got their email, you know, their address and something. But I'm not sure how smart it's going to get with that. But I like the opportunity for that integration, but I'd like to see it taken that step further where even if I'm not filling in,
mm-hmm.
I can enable it and it will try to figure it out for me
right.
so that I get the full benefit of it.
So, and again, this might creep out people if it reaches that level. So if, for example, if you say, you know, you're going to go visit your mom or your aunt or somebody, and you don't specify which mom, well, not which mom, I guess if you're married, you have a mom and a mother-in-law, but... you know, you don't specify which aunt, and it knows which aunt you're going to visit. That would be kind of creepy, right?
Yeah, in fact, that's actually an example when I teach my human factors engineering course and we talk about AI and we talk about all these things. It is one of those examples is how would you like it if it started, you know, knowing where you were going and then it started doing this and doing that. And you do get this sort of... I don't know if I would be comfortable with that or not from students when you talk about that stuff. So,
well,
kind of comparing and contrasting. On one end, we've got college students who are trying to make Alexa talk convincingly. On the other end, we have people going, I don't know if I'm quite comfortable with this.
Yeah. You know, in fact, if you're a Google Now user, you know, and most Android users are, I guess, if you're a Google Now user, it tracks, you know, it's always tracking where you're going and what you're doing, right? Unless you turn it off explicitly. And mm-hmm. so it did, years ago, it figured out that I go to Costco once or twice a week and what days I'm most likely to go to Costco. And so I started getting alerts at work saying, hey, you know, it's going to take you about 35 minutes to go drive to Costco if you leave right now.
Yeah.
And it's not in my calendar.
I would get the same thing a few years ago. My wife and I were dog sitting for friends who were actually looking to relocate. So fairly often it would be, oh, this weekend we're going to go look at houses. Can you watch the dogs?
Right.
And so we would go over there on Friday night and then Saturday and Sunday. And it started Apple, iOS started figuring that out.
Yeah.
And so random Friday nights would be like, hey, it's going to take you 5 minutes to go over to – you know, whatever, College Street where they lived. I thought this was getting a little creepy that it knows all of this.
And so the last item on our list for discussion are not phones catching on fire, but what?
Well, I mean, it's related to that. So this week there was a story of a Samsung washer that had caught on fire. And it further shows some of the issues. We've hinted at this in previous podcasts. We haven't talked too much directly about the whole Galaxy Note 7 random exploding problem. For those that have not been following the story, it looks fairly likely that Samsung was trying to beat the iPhone 7 to market and thus maybe cut a few corners in quality assurance and perhaps used batteries that were not as well insulated, and the parts of the battery that are supposed to stay apart are not staying apart. And thus, these batteries are overheating, they're causing explosions, or actually, I mean, it's just burns basically through the components and then popping because, you know, some of those components do explode when in fire. And so Samsung is facing this sort of weird issue, and they've started rolling out new Galaxy Notes, which... unfortunately, there's enough users that are saying, hey, this thing still gets really hot. It gets hotter than I would like to use it, it being this temperature. And Samsung's going, well, you know, that's kind of normal, but send it to us anyway so we can take a look. And yeah, anyone who's used a modern smartphone does know they do tend to get warm if you use them quite a bit. But how warm is too warm? Apparently, maybe Samsung, even if they are at the acceptable warmth level, they're getting a little bit of feedback because users are a little bit leery of their devices. And so I just kind of, since we haven't talked too much about it, Todd, what are your thoughts on if this is going to do anything to Samsung or if this is going to kind of blow over the way that, say, Antenna Gate blew over for the iPhone?
Yeah, you know, I think that most people don't track this kind of stuff real carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I haven't even looked at, say, if it affected Samsung's stock price or anything. I have no idea. I heard it went down a little, but you know, it's kind of probably one of those things, where it went down and it'll come back up. Kind of like Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
And people have, you know, incredibly short memories.
Well, so, that is different what Samsung is hoping for at this point.
Yeah. So, and fortunately for Samsung, although they're, you know, a giant in the phone world, they're such a giant company in general that I think their phone division is like single-digit percentage of their revenue.
That is true. I don't see this as being a problem for Samsung the company or Samsung the even device manufacturer. I see it as Samsung has been spending quite a lot of time making itself the flagship Android experience.
Right.
And they
own most of the Android market, let's face it.
Yeah, they forced many out of the space. The ones that are remaining in the space tend to focus on bargain discount devices. They're not the premium user experience that you would expect. So I wonder if this is going to not just, if it's not going to hurt Samsung as much as it might hurt Android.
That's an interesting, I hadn't thought about it that way. And in fact, what other Android phones are there aside from the burner type phones? I mean, you know, HTC still has some phones, but you don't really hear much about them.
Yeah, Huawei has a few phones.
Huawei, Motorola. Although, is HTC making the next Nexus / Pixel phones, or is that somebody else?
I don't know if that's been, well, according to Google, they're made by Google. So it wouldn't be surprising if Google is making the next Nexus / Pixel.
It's possible. Although, you know, my Nexus 6 does say Motorola on the back, so. You know, even though it's a Nexus branded phone, it has a big M on the back, so there's no doubt about who makes it. But yeah, I don't think it'll have much of an impact in the long run. In the short run, you know, they probably lost a ton of money having to do a giant recall. You know, a bunch of their lawyers made a whole bunch of money dealing with FTC and the, you know, official recall and. They haven't really done much PR. So,
yeah.
PR companies didn't make it. They probably thought the less said, the better. You know?
Well, that was probably very true. And, you know, I find it very interesting how the psychology kind of goes like, yeah, well, this thing tried to burn up and maybe, you know, kill me, but I guess I'm okay with it. I mean, I had a MP3 player years ago that didn't even use lithium ion, but something overheated inside of it. And I remember reaching over for it on my desk. It was one of those Creative Nomads, so it looked kind of like a CD player.
Yeah.
And I remember reaching over for it, and my thumb made an imprint in the plastic. It was that hot. And I remember taking it, kind of holding it by the edges and slamming the batteries out of it as quickly as I could. And it was, of course, dead. It literally had fried itself up. Wow. But that was one of those things where you're like, wow, this thing is much hotter than it's supposed to be getting right now.
Right.
It didn't stop me from buying another one. I had the original Creative Nomad, and then I bought, I think, a generation later because I really liked that style. I kind of thought it was cool to have something that looked like a CD player that was an MP3 player. Right. So that was, I guess I didn't learn my lesson, and maybe Samsung will rebound from this just fine, but it is... It's a strange one to see this kind of large scale, and it's not just antenna gate or, you know, this doesn't work or Bluetooth gate or something like that. It's you know, it might burn you up sort of thing, which I guess we're okay with that more so than we ever have been.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see, but I like I said, I don't expect much to come of it. I don't expect. Well, let's see. That's about it. It was not... At least the things that interest us. Not much of a news week.
No, it wasn't. Hopefully Google will keep us talking quite a bit next week.
Yep,
and we'll find some cool stuff and some cool things that... the worst possible thing would be that Google does nothing that would be copyable by anyone else. And I guess that's kind of the mark of if you're doing good things is if someone else tries to copy it. Just like every year, Apple puts a bunch of third-party software out of business by building in their core functionality into macOS and iOS. Every year, Google usually releases a few things that others say, you know what, we would like to do that, and so they start building it in as well. So Hopefully Google will release some of those cool things.
I do have a question for you before we sign off on this podcast, and that, you know, I've only had my iPhone 7 Plus for a week. You've had it for 2 weeks now?
Yeah, 2 weeks, something like that.
Have you discovered anything new or noticed anything bad or...
I really like the more interactive notifications in iOS 10. I'm using the Today screen or the home screen. So basically slide over from the first row of icons to the left and you get that whole view. I've been playing around with that. So I've really enjoyed using those. But just the idea that when a notification comes in, I can long press on it to bring up options. If not, I can just kind of wave it away. So I guess on the whole, I like iOS 10 better on the 7 Plus than I ever liked it on the 6 Plus or the iPhone 5 that I played with, just because I do have the Force Touch and I have the full power of the better hardware.
Okay, I definitely need to go play with Force Touch instead of just having it do stuff by accident to me.
Yeah, and definitely check out kind of customizing the Today view and see if you find something new there that you've never really played with.
Okay. And the thing I guess I'd like to mention is I really found the 2x optical zoom interesting. I'm still not convinced it's really optical, but that's what everybody says it is, so I'll believe it. And I have not done the beta updates for the portrait, you know, the atmospheric hazing kind of stuff behind a person.
Yeah, I have not done those either, but I am anxious to look. And I just noticed something about that 2X that I had never noticed. You probably have noticed this because you take more photos than I do, but when you open the camera, if you tap on the zoom, default puts you into 2X.
Right, right.
Instead of having to do that, I've been using just kind of the eyeballing, and it goes, you know, 1.2, you know, there we go, et cetera, I'm on 2.
But. And the last thing I'd like to note is that in my experience, and remember, I carry both an Android and an iPhone all the time. Honestly, the Android is my main voice. So I've been, you know, using a Nexus 4 or Nexus 6 or something the last number of years, along with whatever the, you know, that kind of current era iPhone is. The iPhone has consistently taken better photos under, you know, 99% of conditions. Mm-hmm. But the one thing, the Nexus 6, which is now 2 years old, still does a little bit better than the iPhone 7 Plus, is low-light photography.
Mm-hmm.
It is really odd. And the iPhone 7 Plus low-light photography settings, or, you know, automated settings, are much better than the iPhone 6 Plus. And yet, it's still not as good as the Nexus 6, which is, like I said, 2 years old. So it's still a little bit of catching up to do. I'm not sure what the Nexus 6 is doing better, or I should say Android's camera app is doing better with the Nexus 6. But low light is still head and shoulders above the iPhone 7 Plus night. Can't figure it out. But that said, the iPhone 7 Plus exceeds at everything else, including getting the photo when you want it. The Android still has a lag.
Yeah, I've not had the issue of, in fact, this week, because I still have an old 12 megapixel point and shoot camera that I like using on vacation and such. And I had one of those iFi cards in it that recently got discontinued or basically sunset, so no support. I actually went out and bought a regular SD card for it and one of the Lightning to SD adapters so that I could continue to import those photos straight onto my iOS devices.
Yeah.
But I still think that for 99.9% of the photography I want to do, the iPhone fits the bill nicely. I have the point and shoot for vacations, and I have a DSLR, an older Canon Digital Rebel that I pull out with the, you know, the long range zoom every so often if I'm going to be taking photos from, say, the back of an auditorium or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really rare that I have to pull those out.
Yeah, with the iPhone 7 Plus, we now have one added advantage: we can shoot in the rain with, you know, abandon.
Yeah, that's true.
Because in old days, you know, you don't really want to shoot anything in the rain unless it's in on a plastic bag or something. But
in the old days, I didn't even like taking my phone out in the rain. You know,
exactly.
I remember times in New York when I first moved there, and this was back when Android was pretty new. So I was using a G1 or, you know, the first year kind of Android phones. I remember trying to find where I was going on the subway and getting the map to come up was kind of hellish, and then you'd go out in the rain and you'd be trying to find the next subway station. Right. And I really think for people who are in urban environments where you're outside a lot, you're moving around a lot, it's really going to be a nice thing to have that water resistance.
Well, I tell you, I was in Scotland with my daughter earlier this year, and it didn't rain a lot, but it rained enough that I wish that I had my 7 Plus then, because a lot of times I just didn't take any photos because there was just too much water. But in any case, that's a thing of the past now. So that, and another thing of the past is Mobileview's podcast number 177. How's that for a segue?
Nice.
Yeah. And John and I will be back, hopefully with some special guests next week to talk Android. And probably only Android, unless Apple does something phenomenal between now and then, like fix my Bluetooth problem. But in any case, we will talk to you next time, hopefully with much more actual news, because this week was pretty light.
Okay. And our personalities are good enough.
Yeah, we'll talk to you guys later.